Well, you may not have a smile upon your face as I stand before you, but I hope that you will have a smile in your heart. Sometimes it's hard in life to always have a smile because of the challenges that we face in life, but we can always have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. There's a verse in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, that I want to focus on for just a few moments today. John the Baptist is speaking about Jesus, and John is lifting Christ up. John had a lot of followers. He was baptizing a lot of people in the River Jordan, and all of Jerusalem were coming out unto John. But there was something that began to take place as Jesus Christ, the one that John was the forerunner of, the one that John was preparing the way for the coming of Christ. And the Bible says that John had this attitude about Jesus that I think is such a beautiful attitude. In verse 30, he, that is Jesus, must increase, but I, John, must decrease. Is that our attitude about Jesus in our lives this morning? Do we desire that Jesus increase? That Jesus becomes greater and greater in our life? And I must decrease. 31 says this, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. People today want to be number one. They want to be recognized as the most important, the one who is looked upon as having the greatest influence. And you think today about all of the people who have ever lived upon God's good earth. And we think about the great men and women who have walked upon this earth. I wonder who it is that I would think today is above everybody. Who is the man or woman that has risen to the greatest heights of influence? John says, there is one. There is one man. He's not of the earth. That was not where he originated. But John says of him, he who comes from heaven is above all. Would you consider with me today why it is that Jesus Christ is above all? No one who has ever lived on this earth is above Christ. What is there about him that makes him above all? First, Jesus has a name that is above all names. And Brother Sammy led us in those beautiful songs, right before our lesson. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us. The name of Jesus is a name that rises to the greatest and the most glorious honor that one could ever imagine. We know that the name Jesus was a name that was worn by other men. You go back to the Old Testament. You have the name Joshua. And Joshua is a name that is associated from the Hebrew to the name Jesus in the New Testament. And I'm sure that there were other men who lived upon the earth that were given the name Jesus. But there is something about how that name, Jesus Christ, is a name that is above every name. Why is the name of Christ, the name of Jesus, above every name? Well, Paul says it this way in the Philippian letter, chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, circle this word in verse 9. Therefore, because of what Christ did, because of what Jesus became, because of what he left to come down to this earth, to become a servant among us, therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, because of where Jesus came from, because of what he left behind, because of his taking the form of a servant made in the likeness of men, because he willingly went to the death, yea, the death on the cross, because he became obedient, submissive to the Father, God has given him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee would bow. No other man who was ever given the name Jesus did what Christ did for you and me. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that when God raised Jesus from the dead, that he seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and listen to it now, and every name that is named. Oh, I know a lot of great names in the Bible. I can go back and I can call up the name of Abraham, the friend of God. I can call up the name of Noah, who saved his family and saved all of us. Because had that man, Noah, not been a righteous man, the entire world would have been destroyed. But because of the great righteous Noah, that is a wonderful name, isn't it? I can call up the name of David the sweet singer of Israel, the man after God's own heart. I could call up the names of the great prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all of these great, great men of God. I can call up the name of Peter, Paul, James, and John. I could call up every name written in the Bible. I could call up every name that has ever been given to anyone. But the Bible says of Jesus that He has greater power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only, Paul says, in this age, the age in which he wrote this great Ephesian letter, but also in the age which is to come. Every age, every generation, every year that has come and gone since Jesus lived on this earth and extending all the way out in eternity, you and I will someday bow at the wonderful feet of Jesus Christ, our Lord, when we arrive in heaven. And there you and I will give glory and honor under the name of Jesus Christ, not only in this world, but in the world to come. Jesus' name is a name above all names. Above all, Jesus' name, the name that means Savior, the name given to Jesus when He was born of the Virgin, the name that the angel told Joseph, that you will call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. Brother Samuel, there's another song that we could have sung. If I'd given him some, we might still be singing right now. But the song, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in a Believer's Ear. If you took away the name Jesus Christ, our Lord, oh, how we would not feel the joy and the blessing associated with a name Jesus Christ. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Jesus did not dishonor His name. He honored and glorified the name that was given to Him when you and I were baptized. Do you remember what the preacher said? I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. On that great day of Pentecost, when the Jews cry out with the blood of Jesus Christ on their hands, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter's response was, repent and let everyone be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, the Bible says there is salvation in no other name. There is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. We cannot be saved by Muhammad. We cannot be saved by Buddha. We're not saved by Confucius. We're not saved by any other religious leader, only in the name of Jesus Christ. His name alone. Is there salvation? How many of you in this audience wear the name of Jesus? If I walk up to you today and I said, brother or sister, what do I call you? You would say, I wear the name Christian. Peter said, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. Are you proud to wear the name of Jesus today? Why would we want to wear any other name? Paul says, was I crucified for you? Are you baptized in my name? Why would I then want to wear the name of a religious leader, a religious person that was not crucified for me? That I do not baptize anyone in my name. Paul did not baptize anyone in his name, but the name of Jesus Christ. The name Christian is a name that is above all other names. And I wear with great, wonderful gratitude the name Jesus Christ. May I also suggest today, not only is the name Jesus above all names, but I want you to listen to what is said in regards to Jesus in John chapter 7, verse number 46. The officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." No man preached like Jesus. He was a preacher above all others. No man ever was able before an audience to declare in wonderful simplicity the Word of God. The wonderful thing about the preaching and the teaching of Jesus that is above all others is its wonderful ability to bring it down to where we could understand it. Sometimes we have the attitude that an intelligent man is able to use long words that nobody understands. And people walk out and they're scratching their head and they're wondering, what did that man say? I mean, he used long words. He went into a deep thought. I really didn't understand, but I was amazed at the great knowledge that that person possessed and the way he communicated words and thoughts that I did not really understand what he was saying. But the great teaching of Jesus, it wasn't that way. If anyone could have used five-syllable words, Jesus could have done that. You think of the imagination in our Lord's mind, the knowledge that was in His heart. You think of the one that came down out of heaven, knowing the will and the mind of His heavenly Father, knowing the greatness of the mind of God Almighty. In Jesus Christ, bringing down from the Father, not His words, not His teaching, but He said, I bring down the teaching of my Father. And if anyone could have blown our minds by what He would teach and the way He would speak, it would have been Jesus. But you see, Jesus was not that way, was He? His teaching, His words were of such simplicity that I believe even little children could understand much of what Jesus was teaching. Many of the words that Jesus used were two syllables or less, except for the names of men, or maybe cities. Just the beauty of this simplicity made Him a teacher above all teachers. He used common illustrations. And the common people heard Him gladly. He talked about the birds of the air. He talked about the lilies of the field. He talked about fishermen and how that they were able to understand fishermen's terms. He was able to reach out into the hearts of the simple common man and lift the understanding of everything that He was teaching. What would you think today if we just took everything that our Lord taught out of the New Testament? That we didn't have the Sermon on the Mount. That we didn't have many of the other wonderful messages that Jesus revealed. Aren't you glad that Jesus said in John 16, I have many things to say to you that I'm not able to tell you now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. And that everything that Jesus taught that is important to you and me today, it is written down for us in the pages of the New Testament. What if we did not have the wonderful words of Christ recorded by divine inspiration? What if Jesus did not have His Word recorded for us by these wonderful apostles and prophets? Oh, how much we would miss. How our hearts would hang heavy with the darkness of all the things that are around us today. The things that press down in our hearts and lives. The things that when I read the teachings of Jesus, they lift my soul. They lift my spirit. And Jesus would say, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare that place, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, we can face even the darkness of death knowing I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to paradise. And Jesus promises that. He taught by His words a message that brought such great comfort to the hearts of those who heard Him. It's still doing the same for you and me today, isn't it? Christ's teaching is above all teaching. His message is above any other message ever given. No one spoke like this man. He spoke with authority. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, when you come down to the close of that monumental Sermon on the Mount, that the people were astonished at His doctrine. For He taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Go back in Matthew chapter 5 and read how many times Jesus will say this. You've heard it said by them of old time, but I say unto you. And several times, Jesus will take what was said in the Old Testament scriptures, and He will say, it was said by them of old time, but I say unto you. And which one of us has such authority? But there are those that would say, you've heard it said by those in the Bible. You've heard the Bible teach this, but I say to you that that's not what that verse means. And I ask this morning, by what authority does anyone have to say, this is what the Bible teaches, but I say something different? Aren't we hearing that in our world today about marriage? You've heard it was said in the Old Testament, you've heard it said in the Bible that marriage is between a male and a female, but I say unto you, Two men can marry, two women can marry. By what authority? By what right do men have the right and the authority to define that marriage which is not according to the will of God? You've heard it was said by those in the Bible that one is to obey the gospel of Jesus and one must believe in the Lord and must be baptized for the remission of their sins. Jesus said that, but I say unto you that that isn't necessary. One can be saved and never go under the waters of baptism. You see, people today take the authority of the Bible, the authority of the Word of God, and they set that aside and they teach something totally different. By what authority? Who gave us the right to take what the Bible teaches and reject it? Jesus has all authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Christ. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. That is the teaching, my friend, that is above all teaching. The teaching that is found in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, yes. The name of Jesus is a name above all names. The teaching of Jesus is above all teaching. And we must bring ourselves into submission under the teaching of Christ. As I close my thoughts with you this morning, may I also say today that the church for which Jesus died is above all. No other institution upon the face of the earth is greater than and above the church of Jesus Christ. I look out at this audience this morning of you who are the church. You who are here this morning in this building, there is no greater group of people than the group of people that is here at Lake Hills, the Lake Hills Church of Christ. But yet the church today has lost some of her glory. The church is brought down. It is brought down in the eyes and the understanding of so many in our world today. Yes, sir, some men would say to us this morning, well, I don't need to be in the church to be saved. I can be saved just as easily outside the church as those who are in the church, and they're bringing the church down from the glory and the honor that is associated with it in the Bible. Jesus, my friend, died for the church. He purchased the church with His own blood. And if Jesus Christ purchased the church with His own blood, who is to say then that the church is not the most glorious thing that exists on the earth today? We know our government is a wonderful thing. And we pray for our government, but the government is not the most glorious thing. Well, it's a creation of God, to be sure. And all the powers that be are ordained of God. But the church rises above the glory and the honor of human government. The church of the Bible, the one that Jesus promised upon this rock, I will build my church. And so great is the church that Jesus said on this occasion, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Nothing can destroy the church. I know I look about us in the brotherhood today, and I see that some churches are not quite the size they once were. And churches are struggling, trying to rebuild and trying to grow once again. And then those that wonder, you think the church, Brother Charlie, will ever go out of existence? Will there ever be a day, a time that will come when the church will cease being on the earth today? And it may be true that churches may not be as large as they once were, and churches are not growing as they once did, and we all have to do everything in our power. And I say I start right back here where I stand. I don't like to preach out at the church and say, you brethren need to be doing so and so in order for the church to be growing. But you know, I believe that when I look in my heart, and all of us look in our hearts today, what can we do to make sure that the church is going to continue to exist? The church is going to continue reaching those who are lost. And it starts with me. It starts with me being a member of the Lord's church. Who knows but what those of you in this audience who know others who are lost, you reach out to them with the gospel. You teach them the Word of God. And that as we do so, there will be those that will hear and believe and accept. You know, the Lord sent only 11 men, and it became 12 with Matthias in Acts chapter 1. It became 13 with the Apostle Paul, called later. 13 men were able to go and carry the gospel so many, many places. And the church today, the church that Jesus loves as His own bride, the church that is Jesus' own body, that's what you are. You at Lake Hills are the bride of Christ. You are the body of Christ. And as we walk out these doors, we walk out as Jesus' body. We speak for Him. We hear for Him. We serve others for Him. The church is above all. You love the church here. I love you. I love this congregation because Jesus loved it, because God loves it, because we love one another. There's no greater blessing than to be a member of the Church of Christ. Above everything, above all, Jesus, the one who came down from heaven, is above all. His name, His teaching, His church, nothing rises above Him. If you're not in the kingdom today, if you're not in the church, we would love to help you make that decision. If you believe in Jesus, why not be willing to turn away from your sins? Stand before this sweet audience and say, I believe in Jesus as God's Son. You can be baptized into Christ today. If you need the prayers of your spiritual family here at Lake Hills, if you need the prayers of those who love you, the invitation is yours as Sammy leads us while we stand.